Hi, it is the Colm Hayes Show. It's 2FM. We are here 11 to 1, and you can call us at 1850-715-922 or text us at 51552. Now, as soon as we mention CVs, interview techniques, jobs, or whatever, people get the amount of texts coming in and the phone calls coming in are huge, and I can't deal with them enough. I can give certain, you know, direct people this some ways, and we get callers coming in directing people. So we decided to bring in the professionals, and we have Fidelma Wallace and Liam Horn from Schley Newer Careers in Hereford. First, Fidelma, just what does the company do?
Well, in a nutshell, what we do is that we help people get jobs. And how we do that is by, number one, looking at their CVs, redesigning their CVs. Like we say, for example, we do CV makeovers. We also design CVs from scratch. And we do interview preparation on a one-to-one. And we also do mock interviews. So we do a lot. But mainly what we're trying to do with people is actually make them, prepare them better for the interview.
Is this because, have we got a huge amount of workforce or an out-of-work workforce who've never had to apply for jobs before?
It's like we're finding it time and time again, Colm, that we're speaking to people who've actually never been for an interview.
Yeah.
You know, because we say, for example, especially people in the trades field, it used to be a situation of you turn up on the job site Monday morning and they go, how are you? You, Jim? Yeah. How are you? Perfect start today. And that was the end of it. And even in the past as well, there was always, I suppose, certain organisations that had, I suppose, if you could call them effective, proper interviewing methods. But then there was always a situation, because there were so many jobs, where people just, you know. So in terms of actually, in answer to your question, absolutely, there are people who have never had to design a CV, number one, or actually go for an interview.
I mean,
so it's frightening.
Yeah, there was times during the Celtic Tiger that I mean, I know of companies who applied or had jobs available and nobody applied for the position.
Yeah, but nobody, would you believe it is still the situation? There are still jobs out there. If you look on the websites, there are still jobs out there that are, you know, it's quite difficult to find the people. So things haven't changed. Obviously, the whole culture of unemployment and that type of thing has changed within the country. So people are, it's a more daunting avenue for people nowadays, you know?
I mean, I think as well, I mean, Liam, bringing in the type of person who's unemployed has changed as well, because you are getting that professional who may have been on 80, 90,000 a year, and now they are unemployed. And the carpet is just from under their feet.
Yeah, because we did live in a time when Ireland reached what's believed to be full employment, which is something like, what, 2 or 3 or 4%. So people who were used to being earners in executive positions, doing well, making money or running their own business, are now on the dole, effectively, and are being cut back in their hours or looking for a new job. So some of these people, their morale has taken a blow as well. You know, they kind of feel that their status in some way has been diminished.
We were talking to people yesterday, and it was about also sort of losing the job and repossession of home. And two words that came out an awful lot were ashamed and embarrassment. I mean, that was appalling to think. Yeah. There's nothing to be ashamed of and nothing to be embarrassed
of. Well, your job is your identity, and it's certainly identity for some people. So when that is removed from them, it's much more than just losing a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's losing part of you. And it's addressing that. And especially when now people are finding themselves in a situation where it's that little bit tougher, it's not unusual to hear people say that they're 6 months out of work or longer.
And if you're ashamed and embarrassed and you've lost confidence in yourself and your abilities, all of that is going to show in the interview. So you've sent off the CVs and whatever, and you've got this first interview. You're going to show that, aren't you? But actually, just before we go to the interview, let's go to the CV, right? Somebody who's never written a CV before, they could be 35, 40 years of age, or could be younger, whatever, that you've never written a CV, what do you need to write a CV?
Well, I think some people think a CV is like an academic list of things they have done. But in fact, a CV is a sales document and the product is you.
Yeah.
So if you equate it to anything else, you know, would Mars hide their features and benefits away in the small writing on the back
page? Does it matter that I've read all the Harry Potter books?
Well, it might do if you're going for the position teaching or acting in the
game.
But what we would say to people is the first half of the first page is the chief sales area. Mm. You've got to give stuff there that tells about you, what you believe in, what you've done, what you hope to achieve, what your whole ethos is as an employee, that you're somebody who gives everything, all of that kind of thing. So that the person who's scanning the CV gets a very quick understanding of who you are, and that should invite further curiosity about you. Too many people put on top of the CV their contact details, the biggest thing you see, and that's largely irrelevant. That comes later. So I think people should look at it like a sales document. Does this sell me? What words can I use to sell myself better? And the positioning of those.
Well, interesting in that respect, then, if it's a sales document, if I'm applying for 30 jobs, well, and we've heard of people applying for 30 jobs, right? We're applying for 30 jobs. Maybe, you know, in three different industries. Should you design your CV for each job? Or, you know, it shouldn't just be a carte blanche and that's it, that's my CV. Yes. That'll do whether I send it to the bank or McDonald's or to the priesthood.
It definitely, I mean, the biggest piece of advice when designing a CV is to think about where you're sending the CV. If you're a successful marketeer, when you're actually sending out a mail shot, you'll actually think about your target market. And it's the same with a CV. Tailor your CV to suit the job you're sending. Because if you're adding value on your CV, you're going to grab attention. So, I mean, because of the volume of CVs that are coming into HR people or employers, they're going to pick the CVs that stand out. And how you actually make your CV stand out is, number one, by listing the key achievements in your career that are relevant to the job that you're applying for. Not just, as you said, about the Harry Potter books. But so, for example, if you're going for a sales career, you should really, really highlight your kind of sales successes in the past. So it really grabs attention and get to the point. Be definitive. Use real life examples. How will I say this discreetly or nicely, but waffle on the CV. You should be very, very strict on your time within the CV. So use every bit of information to add value.
Yeah. Waffle really is for the leave insert in history.
Well, it is. It all looks very, very good. But if you're adding value, every point then is bringing you closer to getting that interview.
The thing is, and it's very important as well, you think your CV is the only one that's dropping onto the HR desk. That is there with another 1,000 CVs.
Yes.
It's what I always think is you have to have that, what they call in marketing, that USP, that unique selling point. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a unique selling point that, you know, if I'm looking through the CV, I go, oh, well, there you go. There, Tina looks like, well, that's exactly what we're looking for. You need to focus
on
that.
Exactly, and that's why there should be a thought process gone into designing your CV, because what people are doing is, it's just like what you said there, they're sending out, not everybody now, but obviously, people are sending out 300 CVs, not thinking about it, and then coming back saying, I've had no success.
Yeah.
Maybe if they send out 100 CVs, think about who they're sending it to and design the CV to reflect the role.
Yeah, there's a couple of texts in here on CVs that you can take. I'm applying to America very soon for work, and I think they do their CV differently. How should I alter my current CV to be more suitable to a US employer? Probably spelling night, N-I-T-E, might be helpful. I work nights.
Can you pronounce tomato on a CV?
Yeah, can you? So how do you tailor that differently?
Well, I'm not an expert on American CVs.
Well, what I would say there is that in Ireland and Europe, the average length of a CV there is usually 2 pages.
Yeah.
Within America, they tend to have a shorter, what they call resume. So it tends to be more of a summary of your career.
Right.
Actually, New Zealand and Australia, a 7-page CV wouldn't, you know, go out of place. So keep it shorter. And actually, I suppose, depending on the market that they're applying for, it would be very, very useful if they could talk to somebody within the industry that would be able to give them tips, because that would really help their case.
The important thing, I think, is to realise as well is that a CV doesn't necessarily get you the job. It gets you the interview. Yeah.
Yeah, the CV should invite further discussion. It should get somebody who, as you said earlier, is scanning multiple numbers of CVs to see something in you that brings you in for the next stage. But it also can help you get the job in terms of what you put on your CV should inform the interview as well.
Yeah.
Things you put there should generate further discussion. So that's very important as well, the wording you put in there.
And should it be all coloury and lovely things, underlined in reds? No,
we would say quite sober. Quite sober. Don't become a sort of psychedelic experience for the person reading it. Also, a sober, understated style shows confidence. Brevity shows confidence as well.
It certainly does, yeah.
That Mark Twain thing, I wrote you a short letter, I wrote you a long letter because I hadn't time to write you a short letter. And we notice actually, as people go on longer in their careers, frequently their CVs become shorter because they begin to learn how to sift out what's important and what's not important. And something Fidelma touched on, which I think runs to everything, relevance. What I'm saying here in this CV, is this relevant to the job I'm looking for?
So important.
And that changes from application to application. So if you're sending out the same CV over and over again, you're not speaking to the person.
Yeah.
who's doing the interviewing or the vetting.
Okay, another text here, if I may take this. I've no college education and little enough work experience. My CV looks a bit bare. I'm only 19. Should I put all my Leaving Cert results on it? Maybe a few of your holiday snaps in as well.
What I would say to the person is maybe address the reason why there's no work experience on the CV. Okay, it's maybe not what they want to hear, but work experience, approaching a company and saying, right, I will do work experience here for the next, maybe just, we'll say, for example, a month, would really help that person's case.
For nothing?
Yes. Well, I think if you're leaving college, you're looking for work experience or you're looking for a job and you're finding it tough, do absolutely consider these areas, because some people actually have had the best, most successful careers out of initially gaining experience within the workplace.
Is that not going to... I mean, if I knock at somebody's door and said, look, I want to work for you for 3 months,
yes,
you're going to go, well, that's fine. Michael O'Leary, Ryanair, thank you very much. Come on in, you can fly the airplane.
If you're going to prove a point in that month that you're going to prove your value, and I prove to you in a week or an hour or a month that I can bring value here.
So you're
not just going in... Like, you know, like a lamb to the slaughter, for want of a better phrase.
Well, that's my fear, that the management are going to just take advantage of you and dump you, for the next guy to come
up. You've got to have your own boundaries as well. But there are other areas as well. I mean, even working with the local voluntary group can be construed as work experience in some way.
Right.
To help out with something that's charitable by nature, that can be used as well. Ultimately, to answer your caller, all they can do is put down the best that they have. They can't invent stuff, so they have to put down the best that they have.
Exactly, and include things like, for example, their achievements, maybe not in a work field, but for example, they could be on the sporting side, they could have had achievements that they could include there. So think beyond the obvious if you're finding it difficult to put information on a CV.
Interning actually was in the newspapers there recently, and I suppose through the Celtic Tiger years, because we always talk about that party, best party we were ever at, it wasn't, you know, interning, any job you got paid for, and probably got picked up by limo. previous to that, I remember years ago where, especially in the radio business, people would work for, I'll do overnights for nothing, just you know, have a kettle boiling and a cup of coffee. That is coming back then, isn't it? I mean, and that's where you'll get your levels of experience.
It is. You have to, I suppose, really sit down and be proactive in your approach as well.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're looking for work in a specific industry, as I said, you know, to that person that wrote in, it's to talk to people within the industry, to surround yourself by the people, because maybe the person that you're sitting in front of cannot offer you a job, but they could know somebody that, you know, can offer you a job. So it's about creatively going out there and actually looking for employment. The more people you surround yourself by, and it is, okay, networking is such an overused word.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, network with the people around. People don't even like using the word networking, to be honest with you. But we'll change that word. We'll call it talking to people.
Mm.
If you're talking to people and surrounding yourself by people within the industry, then you will have a higher chance of actually successfully entering into that industry, you know?
How long should I allow myself be an intern for free?
Well, I suppose that's up to the person themselves. Obviously, you're not going to work for the rest of your life for free. But, you know, I think that it depends on your own individual circumstances. You have to decide yourself, you know, so there is no time limit. I mean...
A month? I know you're tired.
I would say a month to 3 months.
Three months?
Well, actually, currently on the FOSS website, they're offering what are called WPP schemes, giving people the opportunity to work, actually, while still receiving the social welfare. And people say, why would I do that? But again, it's an avenue into a company, and it's actually a way of really, I suppose, you know, again, building your contacts, finding out the skills, maybe developing skills you hadn't had before.
I can understand that now, if you can maintain your social welfare payments and work, because there's nothing, I'd say, more disheartening than getting your social welfare payments and sitting at home and not contributing.
I suppose our point, Colm, is that it's not, you know, jobs don't come gift wrapped, and really it's to proactively search. It's, you know, the jobs will not always come to you in maybe in the form of a website. Maybe it's to proactively go out there and look in different areas, such as what Liam was saying there, you know, working within voluntary groups or anything like that.
Yeah. We'll just take one here. Yeah. Colm, I'm 30. I've never had a career. I did interior design in college, and after some travel, got into painting, set up a business with a friend, but with the recession, we closed it. I've been unemployed now for 3 years and really don't know what I should do. I've had part-time jobs in retail, but it's not what I want to do. Could you ask your guests for advice? I feel I really need to get my career into gear. What do I do?
Well, I'd say, first of all, it sounds to me like that person is underselling what they've already done. Mm. Like they said, they ran their own business.
Yeah.
That's something you can would be very strong on a CV.
And they did interior design in college.
Yeah, so there's a lot more there than they might realise. And this is what we frequently come across, is people don't see their own assets nearly as clearly as we might see them looking in from the outside. So I think, first of all, we would say probably their CV needs to be ramped up so that they get the best sales message with themselves out there. But also, what would they like to do? To look at some industries. I think they mentioned retail there, for example.
Yeah.
There's always room for somebody who can sell. Believe it or not, the salespeople will always find work. So maybe if you want to develop something there, maybe do a little sales training course, maybe get a little bit of work experience, get going in that direction. But they need to head off in some direction and head that way, because you can't expect the employer to decide where you're going to work. You've got to orientate yourself in some direction.
But I mean, in respect, Liam, that's where a company like yourselves come in, because what we've in that single text there, and she's completely underplayed herself and undersold herself, and we see already, okay, you've done interior design, you've travelled a lot as well, which is always pretty good, maybe you have a language, and painting is there, and retail. I can see four jobs
there. Running your own business is a huge attraction to employers.
So there's possibility of five jobs just inside that one text.
Often when you look back over your own career, a good exercise to do, something that I've done in my own career, is to look back over your own career and actually look at each area that you've been involved in and question what parts of that job did you enjoy, because the answers to a lot of career based questions, the answers to your success at interview and the answers to really your success in terms of your work lies within you as a person. Because if you can find your strengths and if you can really work those strengths, you'll actually have a passion for what you're working in.
Yeah. It's funny, the other day we were talking about people who have changed careers and industry completely.
Yeah.
And, they've gone down one row, they've been, an architect for so long, and they thought, I want to be in the health service. And being able to just realise that, come to terms with that, and then make that change is huge.
Yeah. I used to be a government minister, and now I want to be a painter.
That's
today's news, isn't it?
Well, what are they going to do today? Let me just, and I know you have some advice for ministers, which we'll finish with, but let's move on. Is there any advice? Leave the country. Let's move on to the interview, right? Okay, so you've got the CV, and the CV has been sent in, and I, as a manager, have thought, okay, I'll take Fidel in and have a chat with her. Firstly, obviously, is the case that so many people have never done an interview before, or the last time could have been 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
The big thing with interviews is... the biggest message is not to try and rehearse 5,000 questions off and have somebody tell you what way to answer these questions.
Because
what'll happen is you'll go in on the day, you'll actually, the nerves will hit, and then suddenly you'll actually forget line two of your, and it'll come
out. Your pre-prepared speech.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's very robotic, and it doesn't do anything to develop your relationship with the interviewer. The biggest area what you need to do is really, again, do your research, have a thought process, and actually go into the interview and say, right, what are these people looking for? Look at the job specification, understand the company, understand the job you're working for. Again, I've preached about it, but speak to people within the industry.
Yeah.
And then go in with that approach and use scenarios of your real life work experience to prove that you've done this. There's no point in me sitting here saying, I am, X, Y, and Z. I'm a great, timekeeper. I'm a great communicator. I'm a hard worker. Because, again, the interviewer will glaze over. Use real-life examples.
Yeah, of how you're actually a hard worker.
You're going back to, you mentioned unique selling points.
Yeah.
Well, unique selling points is how you differentiate yourself from your peers. And it'll help the interviewer remember you after you leave the interview. So if you have a real life scenario, it'll actually remain with the interviewer. And if you deliver that with enthusiasm and with passion, without going overboard, obviously you don't want to throw yourself across the table.
Yeah.
But if you deliver that with enthusiasm, it will really dramatically increase your success within the interview.
Is confidence one of the most important things in an interview? Because I often think I was saying earlier on through my earlier years in radio, and I was in management, so I was interviewing a lot of people for various jobs, news editors on air, and obviously for on air that you do look for a certain level of confidence. But I think once somebody comes in and they have an air of confidence, they're ready to take any question then, as opposed to somebody who shyly walks in and they're shrinking and they're very nervous.
Well, to be honest,
you feel sorry for them almost.
You do, and one big fault people make is that, and I actually watched it even on the Late Late Show the last time, somebody who's been interviewed and they mentioned that they were nervous. Often you can't even tell if the person's nervous. Obviously if they're shaking, physically in front of you, you can. But it's not to draw your attention towards the nerves, so to speak. You know what I mean? So So in terms of confidence, not all employers look for the overconfident person coming in the door. I was talking to a school principal one day and I asked him, you know, he was looking for a teacher. And I said to him, what are you looking for in your successful candidate? And he said, I want somebody I can trust.
Right.
He didn't want the salesperson coming in going, hi, I'm a great communicator. Yeah, I love working with children. You know, he wanted somebody he could trust. And how we did that was by developing a relationship through interviews.
You see that as well when you watch any of the shows, either Apprentice here or over in the BBC, the way people are just are so fake. They are so fake. And they actually think that creating this great persona, this high living selling person, we're all going to fall for it. We don't. Everyone, you know, you can see right through it. I'm just thinking of the typical, okay, the cliched answers. The one big thing is, what are your weaknesses? That's always a question that's asked. So what do you say? Do you admit to it?
Well, in a roundabout way, I would say you would hope to present your weaknesses almost as strengths.
Yes, so one of my weaknesses is I never go home from work. And my wife is saying, what are you doing? I'm doing another 12 hours. I love this place, yeah.
It's a question that I would say the interviewer doesn't really expect you to say, well, actually, I break down every Tuesday morning because of something or whatever. So they don't really expect you to give very much. We actually, our approach very much is not to focus that much on the questions. I think when you focus on the questions, you narrow your focus far too much.
Right.
You should almost approach an interview on the basis that, what if they ask me no question? What if they went in there and say, you have 20 minutes here to talk about yourself. What would you like to tell them then? And when you approach the interview with that kind of an open page, you decide what you want to get across, and you give answers to get that across. So, like that with the weakness one, you use it in some way to tell something that's good about you. As a general rule, don't tell anything in the interview that's is going to go against you getting the job. And also another general rule, don't expect the next person in to say, oh, I see a Colm Hayes in here a minute ago. Definitely give him the job. He's brilliant. You must speak for yourself.
My one weakness is always telling you to give the job to the other person.
I'm too generous,
It's like what Liam is saying there. You have people and they say, well, I don't want to say that. You know, I don't want to come across as arrogant. And I say, well, are you an arrogant person? No. And, you know, you can be assertive, but you don't have to be arrogant.
Thin line sometimes, isn't it?
Well, there is, but if you're not going to speak about your unique selling points, if you're not going to speak about how you can add value to the organisation, the next person will. So you can deliver it in quite a, you know, like a pleasant manner. You don't have to, you know, have your microphone and blast it to the interviewer either.
I think the important thing is, you know, is really be yourself. I mean, if you really believe you're applying for this job, it's because you believe in yourself that you can get this job. So what is it that made you apply for this job? And they're the things, what's your unique selling point? And these are the things you should be telling these people in the interview, as opposed to making yourself out to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Unless you're going for a job as a superhero.
If you don't have the attributes of the job, you shouldn't be there in the first place. So there's no point applying for jobs that you technically can't get.
Yeah.
So if you have the attributes of the job, it's just a matter of going in and presenting those in a way that helps the interviewer see what you're like.
Now, just in respect to the CVs and the interviews, and we're telling people, you're doing yourself out of business, I think. We're telling people how to do the CVs properly and how to do the interviews properly. For yourselves, if somebody is lacking this confidence and they know they have a big job coming up or they want to send off CVs, that's exactly what you guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we take out some of the mystique for them as well. Because a lot of people who haven't done interviews ask questions like, how long will the interview be, for example? They're very afraid of the whole environment. So by doing mock interviews and by doing interview training and working on their CV, we take out some of the fear for them, and we also show them where they're strong. And then, you know, they go in and the feedback we get is that, you know, I was able to run the interview the way I wanted to run it almost. I was able to get across what I wanted to do. And by looking at the interviewer more than yourself, you don't short circuit as much, if you know what I mean. You become a lot more out there, a lot more expressive, rather than thinking about yourself all the time. So,
is this going to, if I'm looking for this service, is this going to cost me a lot of money?
If you wanted to.
Sorry, we're in the interview here now.
Our charges are, we have a variety of charges. One of the first things that people do with this is contact us to do their CV. And we can do that through email or phone. If people go onto our website, sleenewackcareers.com, we can revamp a CV from anything from €60 up, basically.
Right, yeah.
It can be more depending on the amount of work that needs to be done. Interview training, we do an intensive session. We do a 2-hour session for €180. That includes prep and feedback afterwards, and also includes telephone follow-up and all that kind of thing. So they leave with a very personalised plan typed up and presented to them. So,
and do you get a good hit rate on it? I mean, do people come back and say, listen, well done, that really... Well, you're not going to say you don't.
Yes. No, well, well, we do, and it's something that drives us forward, because, of course, but we also have people as well that are applying for courses, because courses are becoming very competitive these days as well. So that's something as well. To be honest with you, when you get the positive feedback and when you get the people, you know, coming back to you to say, I actually got the job, it does drive you forward.
Of course it does. And then you realise, okay, well, that method is what worked for that particular, so let's focus on that.
We work very, very closely with people. We develop relationships with people, and people can see through you if you're not genuine. And that's something that myself and Liam, when we came together as a team, we both genuinely had a passion for actually helping people, because that's what it's coming down to. If you're just kind of like, yeah, we'll just do this here and here's the booklet, now we're going to throw it at you and here's the 500 question rehearsal, next, do you know what I mean? People, we wouldn't get very far, because it's, I suppose, again, when you're working with people, you're giving them everything to really, really help them. And also when you're working with people and you show them how to, because self-belief is a big thing here as well, Colm, and body language as well is something else we work on too, because 55% of your communication actually is your actual body language. It's not your words. Mm. People have that common...
Except when you're on radio.
Well, of course. Of course. Well, thank you very much for that. Yeah. But your tone of voice as well is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you're sitting across from someone, you actually, you know, you can sometimes walk away from a conversation. It doesn't necessarily have to be an interview. And you say, I just couldn't get on with that person.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it? Yeah. And you can't put your finger on it, but it's actually as often the body language.
Yeah.
You know, or if you have somebody who's very energetic and somebody's very laid back, they might necessarily gel. So, you know, that's something as well that people need to work on.
I'm going to wrap it up, but just before we do, two quick questions that have come in on CV, right? First off, a CV, should I send in a photo, yes or no?
We differ on this. I say yes, Fidelma says no.
Okay.
We allow for variation.
That was a great answer, wasn't it, Colm?
Well, no, that's interesting. Okay, well, let me take this. Why would you say yes, Lee?
I think it helps people to be remembered. If you have a nice professional photograph, can help you to be remembered. And I'm of the view that you do what you can to be remembered.
Fidelma, why do you say no?
I think it can be distracting, Colm.
Okay. Final little question here. Any advice for a person with a disability? Should I disclose it on my CV?
What would you think?
If the person feels it's relevant themselves, again, it's right back to what you want to put down there. We certainly wouldn't say no, and we wouldn't say yes. Whatever they're comfortable with themselves.
I don't think they have to, because, I mean, for example, this person with the disability, depending on what it is, has all the skills that may be necessary for the position. So they shouldn't focus on something like a disability if it stops them from actually doing the job.
If it's a very obvious physical disability and you haven't disclosed it before, and then that person walks in the door, an awful lot of the focus for a while from the interviewer will be on that physical disability, and they will think, well, why didn't they put that down in the CV? I would say put it down in the CV. Just, you know, it's not an attribute, it's not anything, but it's almost like your age or whatever. Look, it's, you know, I have this disability, and then when you walk in the door, I go, okay, well, I know they have that disability. Now sit down and let's talk about the job.
I think it's very much what the person wants themselves. Really, I think.
Actually, do you know what? You're absolutely right there as well. It's how comfortable they are with that information. The website is...
Sleno@careers.com. And if people want to get our... We have a free ebook on interviews and CV tips and all of that. If people email getthatjob@sleno@careers.com, they'll get our free ebook.
Free ebook on CV tips and all of that.
We will put that website up on our own webpage. So if you want to get that, or you want to tell somebody about it later on,
Just to say as well, although we're based in the west of Ireland, that we can do CV makeovers for anybody in Ireland.
Yeah.
Because